Chapter 9. All resistance in the room was neutralized. The only living enemy remaining was the Contemptor, if you could call it living. Saw Talgron did not. Trapped in darkness, confined in a box. That was no life. Three of the Cataphracti had been slain before it had fallen. Not even their vaunted armor was protection against its fists. It was laid low, a battered heap of metal and ceramite, yet still it struggled to fight and kill. One of its arms was gone, and its lower half was malfunctioning. It lay on the ground, struggling to push itself upright. Its chest had been breached, and sickly, foul-smelling fluid was leaking from within. The surviving word-bearers circled the downed behemoth, respecting its power even in death. Saw Talgron was holding the dead sergeant's thunderhammer. Uncoupled from its power source, it did not have the same kick, but it would do the job. He smashed the hammer into the Contemptor's oversized red helm. The dreadnought reached for him, but it was a clumsy attempt and easily avoided. There was no strength left in the beast. Another three strikes knocked the helmet loose, rendering the dreadnought blind.
"Take off its arm," he ordered.
The two Cataphracti stepped in. One of them pinned the giant's limb down, testimony to how weak the Contemptor was. Minutes earlier, it would have crumpled the Terminator in one fist had he dared come so close. A chain fist shrieked. Oil spurted and sparks filled the air. Then it was done. With both arms amputated and its legs twitching spasmodically, the machine was helpless. It lay on its back, jerking.
"Kill me,"
it drawled. Saw Talgron nodded to the Cataphracti. They wrenched the dreadnought's ruptured breastplate apart, widening the breach. Sickly fluid gushed forth. Within, suspended in a web of cables, tubes, and pipes, was a wretched, wasted corpse. Some 13th Legion hero of ages past. Was this his reward for years of service, Saw Talgron wondered. It was a cruel fate, if so. It twitched, and a croak escaped its rotten lips. It was piteous. It repulsed him. The hammer ended its torment. Saw Talgron tossed the weapon away in disgust and turned towards the sealed door. He was about to order it smashed down, but it opened of its own accord. A lone ultramarine walked out to meet them. He was unarmed, and perhaps that was what stayed Saw Talgron's hand, stopping him from having the fool gunned down immediately. Like the dreadnought, the ultramarine had a red helm, though his was hung at his waist, leaving his head bare. He was looking down, hair hanging over his face. Saw Talgron felt an uncomfortable buzzing against the inside of his skull. It felt as though something was trying to scratch its way out. He shook his head to rid himself of the sensation. The ultramarine looked up. White flames spilled from his eyes. Saw Talgron stepped into the dark chamber, noting the sudden drop in air temperature.
"Enough of the theatrics, Jerilek," said Saw Talgron,
the grilled vocalizer in his helmet rendering his words into an inhuman, crackling snarl.
"We do not have much time."
"Everything is in readiness," said the Dark Apostle, rising from the shadows.
He was garbed from head to toe in a heavy, dark robe, his face hidden to the naked eye. Saw Talgron had seen him instantly, his helmet stripping away the shadow of his cowl and the thermal image glowing hot against the stone. But to Volkar Reth, he must have appeared like a wraith rising from the dead. The Predicant's eyes were wide.
"Any problems?" said Saw Talgron, glancing back the way that they had come.
He knelt and picked up a length of chain from the floor.
"No one's been down here," said Jarilek, pulling back his hood.
His head was shaved to the scalp like an ascetic, and his skin was pulled taut across his skull. His eye sockets were sunken and dark.
"What is this?" hissed Reth.
"Why do we delay here?"
"Predicant Volkar Reth," said Jarilek, bowing his head. "It is an honour."
Breath nodded vaguely in return. He brushed past the Dark Apostle, picking his way amongst the ancient dead to halt before the nearest casket. Green lights blinked from the panel on its side. He wiped a hand across the curved surface of its lid, brushing aside a coating of frost. On the other side of the crystal, a face was revealed.
"Life signs," said Saw Talgron, wrapping the length of chain around his hand.
"All strong, Captain," said Jarilek.
"You are certain this will work?"
"It will work."
"What is this?" said Reth once again. The figure within the casket wore a close-fitting metal cap, studded with crystals, diodes, and wires. There were markings upon his naked flesh, and Reth leaned in to see more clearly. His breath misted the air before them.
"Who are they?" "A battery," said Jarilek. "A very powerful battery."
"To power what?" "They are psykers, taken from the Hollow Mountain," said Saw Talgron. "All within that hated fastness are those the Imperium deems too uncontrollable, too weak or too old to be of use. They were doomed to die."
"For the good of the Imperium," said Jarilek, his voice thick with venom.
"These ones will still die," Saw Talgron went on. "Only now they will die for a more noble purpose."
"They've been mutilated," said Reth, his face close to the casket's lid.
The dormant psyker within had runes and markings cut into his flesh. The wounds were red-rimmed and septic.
"You wear Colchisian writing, but you're Terran-born, aren't you?" said Jarilek, coming closer.
"What of it? I have the Primarch's blood in me, as do you," Reth snapped. "There are markedly fewer Terrans within the Legion of late," said Saw Talgron.
Volkor Reth looked at him, his brow furrowed, not understanding what was being said.
"Tell me, Predicant," said Jarilek, "what would you be willing to give up if Lorgar himself asked it?"
"Anything,"
replied Reth instantly.
"You would surrender your life?"
"Of course."
"Excellent."
Predicant Reth looked around sharply as he heard the murderous intent in Jarilek's voice, turning his back on Saw Talgron. Before he could react, Saw Talgron looped a length of chain around the Predicant's neck like a garrote. He yanked it tight, cutting off his airway and pulling him off balance. Reth's hand went instantly to the choking chain, struggling to breathe. Using his colossal armor-enhanced strength, Saw Talgron hauled Volkar Reth around to face Jarilek. The Dark Apostle threw off his robe. Beneath it, he was unarmored and stripped to the waist, his tattooed torso exposed. The candlelight rippled across his skin, making the symbols and intricate Colchisian cuneiform emblazoned upon him dance.
"I too bear the word of our Lord upon my flesh," he said. "The message has changed somewhat in recent times, however."
He had a knife in his hand, and he stepped in to drive it into the Predicant's body.
"This is the will of Lorgar," he snarled.
Holding onto the chain with both hands, Volkar Reth lifted himself and slammed both feet squarely into Jarilek's chest. The force of the blow knocked Jarilek back and drove Saw Talgron into one of the stasis caskets, sliding it half a metre to the side with a screech of metal. The captain's helmet crunched into the low arch above, and his grip on the chain loosened. Reth tore himself free and rose to his feet as Jarilek lunged at him. He grabbed Jarilek's wrist as the Dark Apostle's knife flashed in the gloom, guiding it past him and twisting sharply, overextending the joint. With his other hand, he grabbed Jarilek's shoulder and, using his momentum against him, drove the Dark Apostle's face onto the edge of the stone plinth. He tore the knife from Jarilek's hand and spun, coming to face Saw Talgron. The Wordbearer's captain was blocking his way out.
"What in the Emperor's name is going on?"
he hissed.
"The Urizen has had a change of heart regarding the Emperor," said Jarilek as he made to rise, blood dripping from his face.
"This is insane," said Reth. "The 17th would never turn." "There were those who were resistant," said Saw Talgron.
"That knife in your hand has spilled plenty of Legion blood," added Jarilek.
"You are the last of your kind, old friend," said Saw Talgron. The last Terranborn word-bearer who has not embraced the new path. The purge is almost complete.
New path? Said Reth. What madness is this?
At Monarchia, the Emperor rebuked us for worshipping him as a god, said Jerilek. He shrugged. We found new ones. Well, old ones.
You've been away from the Legion too long, said Saw Talgron.
You haven't got a religious bone in your body, lad, spat Reth. This is not some holy endeavour. You've become traitors, nothing more.
No, said Jerilek. We've become enlightened.
Why did you release me?
Why didn't you just let me rot with the others of the Crusader host?
You'd only have been executed in time, said Saw Talgron. The truth will out. Always the truth will out. You think Dorne would let you live once he knew that the 17th had pledged for Horus? This way, you may still serve the Legion. This way, your death has a meaning, a purpose.
What have you become, Saw Talgron? Said Reth. You are not the warrior that I knew. He would never have betrayed the Imperium, never in 1,000 years. Something has happened to you. Some corruption has eroded your soul.
I am exactly the man that you knew, snarled Saw Talgron. The Legion is my life. It has always been so. Would it have been better to have betrayed the 17th? Is that what the man you knew would have done? Would he have betrayed Lord Aurelian?
The one I knew understood the difference between right and wrong.
What's right and what's wrong is determined by the victor, said Saw Talgron. I am a soldier, just as I always was. I do as I am ordered. Nothing has changed.
Then damn you and damn the Legion,
said Volkar Reth, stepping towards him, clutching Jarilek's knife.
Kill him!
Saw Talgron shouted, too late. The Ultramarine swept his arm in front of him from left to right, in the manner of one clearing a table in a fit of pique. Every word-bearer was hurled backwards by a colossal barrage of unseen force. They were slammed against the far wall, which bent and buckled beneath them. The unseen force did not relent either. It continued to press upon the word-bearers, pinning them in place. It was as though the axis of reality in the room had suddenly changed, making the back wall down, and the gravity increased tenfold. The Ultramarine had risen off the floor, his feet hovering just above it. His arms were outspread, palms up, and white flames were rising from his hands as well as spilling from his eyes. His teeth were bared in a vicious snarl. The force pressing upon Saw Talgron made it feel like the weight of a battle tank was on his chest, making breathing difficult. His arms and legs were pinned against the wall, and in spite of all his strength, enhanced by the fibre bundles and servos of his armour, he could not pull himself free, nor even raise a weapon against his enemy. Yet despite the tonnage of force pressing against him, a bark of laughter escaped his lips. The Ultramarine turned his fiery gaze upon Saw Talgron.
"You find your end amusing, traitor," he said.
His voice sounded like a dozen voices blurred together.
"You are as much a traitor as I," said Saw Talgron. "You go against the Emperor's decree."
"You have no moral right to condemn me,"
said the Ultramarine, multiple voices overlapping. Saw Talgron laughed again, with considerable difficulty.
"I do not need to condemn you. Your actions do that for me."
"You speak poison, traitor,"
said the Ultramarine.
"My infraction is as nothing next to the scale of your treachery."
"Such is how all treachery is born, by small degrees," said Saw Talgron.
He strained to lift his weapon again, but he could not. He might as well try to lift a mountain, so strong was the force ranged against him.
"But there is no grey area here. There is only obeying and disobeying. You've turned against the word of the Emperor. In his eyes, you are no different from any of us. He ordered the death of one of his own sons for it. Why do you think he would forgive you?"
The Ultramarine pressed his arms outwards, as if pushing on a heavy weight. The force holding the word-bearers intensified. Saw Talgron's armour groaned. It could not take much more than this.
"You are as damned as us,"
he snarled.
Enough! Yelled the ultramarine, thrusting a hand towards Saw Talgron, fingers tightening like he was gripping something. Saw Talgron's throat was constricted suddenly, closing off his windpipe. This world is going to burn, and you and all your traitorous legionaries will burn with it. With one hand extended, holding the word-bearers in place, the damned librarian drew a plasma pistol. He aimed, taking his time, and fired. There was a searing flash of heat and light, and one of Saw Talgron's legionaries was slain, cored through his midsection. The air filled with the stink of melting flesh and acrid plasma discharge. The word-bearers strained against the psychic pressure pinning them in place, but it was no good. None of them could move. The librarian's pistol was venting superheated vapor from its power coils. He lowered its barrel at his next target, Saw Talgron. The captain's face was purple, the invisible grip of iron still clamped around his throat. Jerulek spoke then. His words made the scratching inside Saw Talgron's mind intensify sharply, and he might have cried out had he been able to breathe. It felt as though some taloned thing inside his skull was straining desperately to get out. He felt a trickle of blood run from his nose. The Dark Apostle's words were guttural and harsh, and not in any way human in origin. They were an aberration. The sounds, not ones that any being born of the material realm had any right to utter. It was a calling, a summoning of beings beyond the veil of reality. And, in defiance of all rational logic, that call was answered. The buzzing in Saw Talgron's head could have been the sound of a faulty vox picking up nothing but static, or the incessant burr of a million insects. Behind the crackling noise, he could hear the chittering of inhuman voices and the cutting cry of newborns. It was an uneasy, disconcerting sound, and it was getting steadily louder. Every lumen strip in the room exploded, scattering shards of broken glass in all directions. The chittering voices were suddenly in the room with them. The only light was the dull electronic glow of a data screen coming from the chamber beyond. The electric buzz in the air reached a painful resonance. With a sound like paper ripping, a pair of shadows detached themselves from the surrounding darkness. They descended upon the librarian, drifting towards him like moths to a candle, like leeches to blood. Each of the incorporeal shapes manifested a pair of long, spindly arms, made of nothing more solid than darkness, the limbs extending from vaguely humanoid skeletal torsos that tapered into nothingness below the waist. They grappled with the ultramarine, clawing his weapon arm with insubstantial talons, and his shot went wild, searing through the metal wall half a metre above Saw Talgron's head. He felt the pressure against him lessen, and he sucked in a breath, gasping for air. Fighting against the pressing psychic power, he managed to shift his arm fractionally. His fingertips touched the grip of the Volkite pistol holstered at his chest. The shades surrounded the librarian, coiling around him like serpents. One of them still held his weapon arm, fighting against him, while the other was scrabbling wildly for his throat. The ultramarine fought them off, struggling to shove them away, but it was like clutching at smoke. A third spectral shape materialized, emerging from the darkness and rearing up behind him. It grabbed the ultramarine's head in its shadow talons, and the librarian roared as cold fingers pressed into his mind. The incorporeal being shuddered, dark unlight pulsing along its arms and into its being, and its presence grew more substantial. It was feeding on him, Saw Talgron realized. A mouth split open in its otherwise blank face, revealing rows of tiny barbed teeth, and it breathed out a cloud of buzzing flies, accompanied by a stench like rotting flesh. The other two spirits renewed their efforts. It was abundantly clear that the librarian was about to be overcome. With a roar, the librarian threw a hand towards the wreckage of the Contemptor, lying lifeless on the floor. It was lifted into the air, and with a wild motion of the ultramarine's arm, it was sent slamming into Jerulek. The shades began to fade, as the Dark Apostle's voice was silenced.
They fought to remain in the material realm, clawing frantically for a foothold in real space, but they were drawn slowly back into shadow. They screamed and writhed, but then they were gone. The librarian stood alone, breathing hard. A single shot rang out, echoing loudly, and a hole was punched through the ultramarine's chest. He collapsed backwards, following the trajectory of the high-velocity sniper round. The weight pressing Saw Talgron to the wall fell away, and he pushed himself to his feet. He glanced back towards the conveyor. Loth was down on one knee, smoke drifting from the barrel of his long rifle.
"Good shot," he growled.
The recon sergeant shrugged. Saw Talgron stalked over to the librarian. The ultramarine was slumped on the floor, blood pooling beneath him. Saw Talgron didn't need to be an apothecary to see that the legionary would not survive.
"Desperation makes fools of us all," he said. "You didn't need to break the Nykaea Edict. Now you die a traitor."
"Perhaps," breathed the ultramarine. "But you'll die with..."
His voice trailed off as his life left him. Saw Talgron frowned and turned away. The buzzing in his mind had finally gone, though it had left a pounding headache in his temples. Surprisingly, the flies that the shadow demon had breathed forth were all still there, lying dead on their backs with legs folded. They crunched beneath his boots. Demons. These were the new allies of the 17th Legion. Had he not been wearing his helmet, he would have spat in disgust. He saw two of his legionaries haul aside the wreckage of the Contemptor and help Dark Apostle Jarelek to his feet.
"You're alive, then,"
Saw Talgron commented, feeling nothing either way.
"Captain, you need to see this," said Loth.
Saw Talgron followed the recon sergeant's voice and entered the small communications command center. It was dominated by sensor arrays and data screens, awash with information.
"What am I seeing?"
he said. He stabbed a finger at one of the screens.
"Is that what I think it is?"
"Yes," said Loth. "There's an active ultramarine ship up there in orbit."
"Give me audio on that screen there,"
said Saw Talgron, gesturing to where the image of a woman could be seen speaking.
"On third bombardment deck,"
the woman was saying, as the audio connected to the visual feed.
"Target solution is a lock. On my mark." "It's preparing to fire," said Loth. "They're using this connection to sequence its guidance systems."
"Kill the connection,"
barked Saw Talgron.
"I'm trying," said Loth, punching in keys on the command console. "It's locked me out."
The woman on the screen turned to look at the word bearers. She was a fleet admiral, Saw Talgron saw by the pins on her lapel. A cold smile touched her thin lips.
"I take it then that legionary Zion Octavian is dead," she said. "He died a hero. Whatever he did bought the time I needed. You traitors are all going to burn."
Saw Talgron cursed and drew his Volkite pistol, aiming it squarely in the center of the command module. Loth stood and backed away, knocking his chair over in his haste. The captain fired, emptying the weapon's charge into the console. The whole thing went up in sparks and flame, and the data screens exploded. Jarelek stood in the doorway, leaning on the supporting arm of a legionary.
"What can one crippled ship do?"
"There are still Ultramarines forces on this continent," said Saw Talgron. "They won't target the battles for fear of killing their own legionaries. They wouldn't sanction that. It is not in their nature. They'll be targeting one of the muster points."
Loth spat. In the silence that followed, Dal Ak's voice crackled through on the vox.
"Captain, enemy planet strike ordnance inbound,"
he said.
"Multiple targets."